Yes, the National Wrestling Alliance, which was formed as part of an organization that had as its board of directors the promoters from several different territories, from mainly in the Midwest and the South and some of the East. And they would get together and then they would have who their champion would be and their tag team champions. They'd decide, and they would send people like the Nature Boy Ric Flair out to go to a territory. Maybe it was Dallas. He would be wrestling against one of the Von Erichs. Then the next night, or maybe 2 days later, Ric Flair might be in Memphis taking on Jerry the King Lawler, or maybe it was Dusty Rhodes and Jerry Lawler, or Ric Flair would be going to St. Louis to take on one of the Briscoe brothers or Dory Funk. And that's what the National Wrestling Alliance was. And now with the new ownership getting some more recognition, but their title just changed hands. I don't know if you knew that or not. You know, they had Tim
Yes,
Storm.
yes. Tim Storm is no longer oldest NWA champion in history.
Yeah, Nick Aldis, who we know as Magnus from TNA days.
Yeah. And now, correct me if I'm wrong, he has some affiliation with the WWE currently, doesn't he?
Yes, his wife is in the WWE.
And who is his
Mickie
wife?
James. Mickie
Mickie
James.
James. Mickie James.
And she can
So can
still
Mickie
go.
James still
Still,
go,
yep.
dude? Do you think she's still got it?
Oh, yeah. She's had some great feuds with Alexa Bliss. Loved her work in that, so.
Man, there's a lot going on right now. And so, hey, I want to talk to you, though, while we're on the subject of NWA a little bit. A lot's been going on. They've been doing a lot with championship wrestling from Hollywood. And do you think that that's just because of the location? Or there's been a lot of cool names in championship wrestling from Hollywood. I mean, Jack Swagger's been there lately. Brian Cage and from Lucha. He's been doing some stuff on there. Dude, they got some good names there right now.
Yeah, they do, and they're part of the United Wrestling Network. And I think you and I were talking about this a little bit on the last pod. They are also affiliated with our friends at UCW Zero out of Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
So, but I was watching Championship Wrestling from Hollywood this past weekend, the show that was on U2 America. And it did show the match with Nick Aldis against Tim Storm, but it was Tim Storm that won that particular match on that. It was just last weekend that Nick came away as the title holder now. So they have good young talent there. They're telling very intriguing stories. And here's something that I didn't know about Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. If you've ever watched it, there's a really big guy on there. They just call him Watts. His name is
Watts.
Eric Watts. And Eric Watts has been there for a couple of years. And I am watching something on YouTube, and all of a sudden I recognize somebody from Tough Enough. The same year that
Oh.
our friend Martin Casals was on Tough Enough, Marty the Moth, Eric Watts was a performer on Tough Enough that same season.
Really?
He was eliminated probably about 6 weeks into the competition. Yeah. And now he's getting a big push in championship wrestling from Hollywood. I have seen him at ROH events playing like he's a security guard. But big, strong looking young man. His mic skills are not really good, so he's still
Oh.
learning the business.
So how do you watch Championship Wrestling from Hollywood?
It comes on a cable channel called U2 America.
Okay.
YOU2 America. TOO America. And
Okay.
it's on my cable system. I just set it up because it runs like at 1 o'clock in the morning on Saturday mornings. Now, you know, some of the talent is not great, but overall it's pretty dang good. I'm enjoying it.
How's the production value?
Not great. You know,
not great.
No, it's not going to be as good as ROH, if you ask me. You know, and you know, sometimes ROH production value isn't as good as you know you've said that in the past. Production at the WWE is you know, it's top notch, but these guys are trying to do their best with what they have, and they do a dang good job, man.
So I think I texted you a couple. It's probably been about 2 weeks ago. I watched. Might have been 3 weeks ago. I finally sat down and watched a full episode of TNA, or well, what is it, Impact on Pop, a full episode, and I haven't watched a full episode on Impact for probably 2 years, 3 years.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff.
I think they've done a great job with their storylines and their performers. They've had a lot of troubles keeping talent there right now. And referees too, you know, because when they went to Canada, they were telling the Hebners they were going to use local referees instead of the Hebners, and they quit. They asked for the release and got it. But I mean, I've enjoyed watching Global Force.
So, what was the purpose of them moving to Canada and getting away from Orlando?
Well, they're not completely away from Orlando, but they did a pay-per-view, I can't remember what they call it now. They did a pay-per-view in Canada, and they took the opportunity while they were in Canada to film several episodes of wrestling over several days. There was some talent that couldn't go because of visa problems, then they had the problem with the Hebners and the other referees being upset because they were not going to use them. And that's money out of their pocket, you know, so you know, you can't blame them there. But I don't think they're going to completely move to Canada, although it wouldn't surprise me at this point to make it more.
Do you think that would be a good move for them, though?
Depends on whether they can get on a Canadian broadcast network. And still do some shows in America, you know, stay on Pop TV, although I think they need a better deal than Pop. Yeah, you know, they're doing their own streaming service now, which is cheaper than the WWE. I think it's $7.99 a month, and where the WWE is $9.99 a month. But, yeah, you know, I think it all depends on TV deals and what they can accomplish and money, you know, because it's as we talked with the WWE, it's a business. This is a business as much as we would like to not have business decisions get involved with storylines. It has to sometimes.
Yes, it does, unfortunately. You know, and I don't know. I don't know what your thoughts are. I mean, might sound kind of rude, but, you know, does anybody really care about a ref? And do they care if it's Earl Hebner? I mean,
that is such a good point. I was going to say a referee's job is very tough. They have a certain role in the ring. They have to learn.
Yeah, they have to keep the performers safe, basically.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah, they keep them safe. And plus, I was at a wrestling match. I think I told you I was a ringside announcer in Louisiana, and the referee was a man named Tommy Gilbert. Sometimes performer, the father of hot stuff, Eddie Gilbert. Old-time wrestlers will recognize that name. So I'm just sitting at a table ringside. I mean, I could reach out and touch the ring. That's how close I am. And the Birdman, Coco Beware, was in with another wrestler.
No kidding.
Tommy Gilbert, at one point, yelled at them. You know, it's a big crowd there, so, you know, you couldn't hear it if you were in the front row, but I'm right at the ringside, and I hear Tommy Gilbert yell at them using some language, "You guys better get your act together and start entertaining this crowd, or I'm sending you back to the dressing room now."
Whoa.
Yeah. He's running the show. The wrestlers are performing, but the referee runs the show. And, you know, that's basically the way I took it. So he's there with a specific role. And that would be interesting if we could talk to a referee sometime and see what their role is inside the ring. That would be really
cool. You know, that is a great idea. I have never honestly thought of that before.
Huh. Maybe we could get one of the referees at the UCW event.
You know who we could get on the show?
Local.
You know who? You know, and the Mr. Noah.
Oh, really?
You remember Noah?
Yeah. Noah is an official that was using belts on the performers at the event we went to in Salt Lake City that we didn't like that particular bit.
Yep.
But
that's a great idea, Dave.
Research this a little bit, see if we can do that, yeah.
I feel that I owe you an apology for not being for it's almost like I'm interviewing you as somebody who isn't even a fan because I just, you know, haven't had the chance to keep up on things. I did buy a subscription to Hulu so that I could watch the shortened version of Raw, and I've made it through about the first 20 minutes, and I end up falling asleep. They changed our work schedule to 6 a.m., and so that comes pretty early.
I hear you, brother.
Well, it's sure been great talking to you. What else is on your mind, Dave?
Well, you know, I will tell you, I've talked to a coworker of mine. His name is Jason, and he works
Mr. For the People.
Yeah, For the People on 610 KVNU in Logan, Utah, and he is a big wrestling fan.
Oh.
And during the holidays, sometime probably between New Year's and Christmas, he is going to get together with me, and we're going to talk wrestling as him have been a lifelong fan, too. And we are going to talk about wrestling, and there's a possibility that I will be part of his show one day talking about the podcast.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
So keep your fingers crossed about that. We might have some exciting news about the podcast coming soon, too.
That is great news, Dave. You are always the man.
Well, I enjoy what we're doing. I think it's fun. We've had really good responses from people that have listened to it. And even though sometimes we want to get past the PG-13 when, you know, we're joking around and stuff, I think there's a lot of people out there that appreciate being able to listen to it with their children and their wives in the room. And frankly, you know, I'm not trying to cut down any other podcasts, but when I listen to a podcast and I hear certain words being used over and over again, it just gets older than, you know.
Yeah.
And I've been known to say that language myself, but it gets old so fast, you know.
Yeah, I agree. One thing I want to mention, well, you know, I feel bad. Unfortunately, we did have an interview lined up last week that fell through with the operator of a wrestling news site called Wrestling Epicenter, but we weren't able to schedule due to conflicting schedules. We were unable to make that interview happen, which is a bummer deal. Sometimes on our end we get busy, sometimes on their end they get busy. So, but we'll keep trying.
And I have reached out to the producers of the documentary Memphis Heat. And hopefully either during the holidays or shortly thereafter, we'll be able to talk to the director of one of the best wrestling documentaries you've ever seen.
What does John Cena say? What's his motto, Dave?
You can't see me?
Never give up.
I forgot about that one because I gave up one time and couldn't see him.
It's, Cena's got a new movie coming out this week or next week?
I think it's coming out this week. Ferdinand the Bull.
That should be good, dude. He's a funny guy, so that should be great. That should be great.
So. If you go on YouTube right now, you can find all kinds of news that interviews John has done all over the world about Ferdinand the Bull. And I've watched several of them, and they're really interesting. really interesting.
Yeah, good. Well, my man, I guess it's, what do they say? What was, remember that, you remember, remember that show on the Disney Channel? You know, the one, the Mouseketeers or whatever.
M-I-C.
Yeah, now it's time to say goodbye to our wrestling family.
Go ahead, poor, go ahead. I'm poor, I'm just
poor attempt at humor, Dave. I'm sorry.
See you real soon. I gotta say real quick, on my radio show for a couple of years, my partner and I would sing that song and we'd say, mm-hmm. See you real soon, and then why? Because we get paid a lot of money to do this crap for you. M-O-N-E. Why?
But we don't get paid anything. And while we're on the subject of money again, too, we reached a milestone. Do you realize that? This past week, we reached a milestone at Turnbuckle Trash.
What's that?
It has been exactly 1 year that TurnbuckleTrash.net has been an official website.
Well, you know what? We should have cake.
Well, you have cake up there, and I'll have cake down here.
Let's do it. Then send each other pictures.
Oh, and guess what else? I never told you this. So we went for a drive on Thanksgiving Day down to the Walmart down in Richfield, another rockin' metropolis that's close by. But, hey, their Walmart is a lot bigger than ours. And they had... every Walmart I go to, Dave, you've inspired me, I check the clearance section for WWE action figures, and they had an Ultimate Warrior Macho Man tag team action figure on clearance. I was so excited, okay?
Uh-huh.
I snagged two of them. I was going to buy one for you and one for me. And I got up to the checkout stand, and they rang up as... $13 a piece. And I said, no. I said, these are on clearance. And he's like, oh, let me go back and check. So he goes back and checks, and he says, yes, they are on clearance for $13 a piece. So, Dave, you have a cheap friend. So I did not purchase you a Ultimate Warrior tag team action figure.
Let me tell you, I'd do the same thing to you, Zane. I would do the same for you. I wouldn't buy you nothing, man. Because you know what? I'm a cheap SOB myself.
But, hey, you know, Dave, a dollar or two? Absolutely. My man, it's been real. It's been great talking to you, too. And I, like I said, I feel like I owe you an apology for being, like, I don't even feel like a fan right now. I feel like somebody who just... what's been going on in wrestling lately? I don't know anything because I don't watch it.
Well, what are you going to do about that, young man?
Christmas is coming up. We have some few days off, so I'm going to stay up late. Get caught up.
I hear you, man.
I am going to watch the pay-per-view Sunday.
Oh, good. Maybe we can do a quick podcast right after that or something. Maybe on Monday or something.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Cool.
So, my man, sure great talking to you. Let's do this again soon.
We will do.
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
This isn't a social event. This is a competition where there's one winner. You don't see the elders before a fight playing with jacks and juice boxes. No, they talk trash and they beat the crap out of each other.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Welcome back to Turnbuckle Trash. RJ Salveson, Dave Denton. Thanks for joining us. By the way, if you want to follow us on Turnbuckle Trash, you can do so on our podcast, or not on our podcast, on our Twitter page at Turnbuckle Trash, and on Facebook, you can follow us on our page at Turnbuckle Trash. Special thanks to Geeks of the Industry and their podcast family for allowing us to have them on. Thanks to Larry Jackson.
And but MSR.
MSR,
you,
thank you.
You always forget MSR.
Okay, you know what? That's you. You know, why don't you actually just keep bringing them up then, huh? Why do you rely on me to remember? I have CTE.
I have a big butt.
Well, that big butt gets in the way of your brain. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Yes. Honestly, it does sometimes.
Final sorts of podcasts and every sorts of topic, go to thegeeksoftheindustry.com.
Yes, sir.
SmackDown did a crappy job previewing their pay-per-view event. Could Raw do any better? Raw was December 11th there at the Q Arena in Cleveland, Ohio. Cleveland rocks. Cleveland rocks.
Yeah, Drew Carey show.
What
I love that.
Garbage show it was.
I love that show.
No, the song was good. The show sucked.
Cleveland rocks?
Yeah.
You know, Joe Walsh was on that show one time? Or a couple of times. Joe Walsh from the Eagles?
No kidding.
Yeah, he played a washed-up rock and roller. Kind of, he played himself. He was like, hey, dude, you know, like he's a burned out guy.
Do you want to see my I don't really care face?
That's it. Face that was.
I know.
I'll delete that later.
Raw was dominated by The Shield, literally.
Yeah.
It was The Shield, and The Shield. In fact, The Shield had all three guys face off in solo matches. Roman Reigns face Cesaro, Dean Ambrose face Samoa Joe, and Seth Rollins face Sheamus.
Cesaro and Roman Reigns match. Holy moly, that was a good match.
Mm-hmm.
I watched, you know, both of them they're not bodybuilder types. I mean, they're not, but they're both just naturally strong.
Sure.
Cesaro especially. His tendon strength must be awesome. He did some power moves that were just incredible to watch. I was watching some of the highlights. I just think Cesaro, even with the mouthpiece, is awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, let's start off with a Divas match. Bayley and Mickie James versus Paige and Mandy Rose. By the way, Paige stepped in, and I mean, she hasn't missed a freaking beat. She still looks as good and wrestles as well as any of the Divas in that dang group. Sasha Banks, of course, was accompanied by Bayley and Mickie James to the ring. They took on 2/3 of the Absolution, which is just a garbage faction that needs to be thrown away.
You don't like Absolution?
Not a fan
of
it. I think Paige is great solo, and leave it at that.
Okay, I'm going to say this. They brought in Absolution and then the Riot Squad on SmackDown Live.
Mm-hmm.
Why do they use the same storyline?
I don't know.
They did the same thing when Braun Strowman came in.
Yeah.
And then they brought in Nia Jax, and they both had them doing squash matches against nobodies. And, I mean, they've kind of changed it up a little bit with Nia Jax, but they were doing the same storyline. That's what's happening with Absolution and the Riot Squad. I wish they'd have thought that out a little bit better.
Rose's promos still need a lot of work. Absolution getting the win was a no-brainer for the WWE, since they're still, I guess, early in their faction.
Oh, yeah.
But I just feel like there's a disconnect within the storyline, within the trio. The announcers are trying hard to talk it up, and I think it's just not going anywhere.
I like it. The only thing I don't like is they're doing the same thing over in SmackDown.
I tell you what, I know who likes drugs. Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt. Because they both look like they're on freaking drugs. And every kind.
They look like they have been, they've been in the pharmaceutical aisle.
Hardy and Wyatt had a little verbal spat in the ring, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. And
we have that audio.
We do?
Yes, we do.
You have the audio?
I have the audio.
Thank goodness.
Because
yeah,
I are a professional.
Let's all get high with Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt.
Junkie Larry saying, okay. Cool. Do that.
Oh, let's play the audio.
Okay.
Yeah. For millennia, my soul has wandered through space and time. But not all who wander are lost.
Matt Hardy is a fool.
A charade. I have laid dormant inside this vessel called Matthew Hardy. But now, thanks to the consumer of terrestrial entities, I have been woken.
Last week was not Matt Hardy's breaking point.
It was mine.
I actually feel alive again. My heart is pumping. and there's a fire in me that is only growing stronger. Bray Wyatt, you left me with no choice. I sentence you to deletion!
And Matt Hardy have this whole Sister Abigail talk going on again.
What? Delete.
Delete.
There better be a Sister Abigail at some point. And by the way, she better be creepy as heck.
Have you ever seen Rosemary on the Impact Global Force TNA, whatever they're calling it now?
Yeah.
She would be an excellent, excellent Sister Abigail. But what do you think about this situation with Matt Hardy? The woken Matt Hardy instead of the broken Matt Hardy, which still has some lawsuits. And what is going on there? What's woken and what's broken? I think that the WWE made a brilliant move, though, with changing it up a little bit and saying he's awoken. But he's using the same character.
Yeah, I think Matt Hardy doesn't care. I just,
as long as there's money involved,
yeah,
I wouldn't either.
Yeah, exactly. And no, you're right. I think you're right. I think WWE did a great job in changing it, the format of him. Can he take that character and still have the same effect as he did before using WWE? It's yet to be seen, but the crowd likes it.
I know that Matt probably still has some creative control and input, but the writing staff at WWE will probably do a better job with that character than what Matt was doing on his own. Because some of that stuff they did in TNA, I know, I mean, and people disagree with me. I'm liking what they're doing so far.
The whole laughing thing, by the way. I mean, they just sat there and did it until they ran out of breath. It was stupid.
So what's your point?
I mean, like I said, they're on drugs. And the writers are probably on drugs with them, too.
They're going to go with this woken character as long as they possibly can, because it's going to sell merchandise. And it's getting press. I will, you know, you and I are going to disagree on this one. Even though I'm not a big fan of that type of entertainment, I think Bray Wyatt is the perfect person to go up against for Matt Hardy to do this. Love it.
You do?
I do.
Okay. Finn Balor, Curtis Axel went at it. It was Axel and Bo Dallas kind of teaming up together, if you will. And Axel grounded Balor for about 6 minutes, if that, before Balor turned around and pinned him.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
Next match. Let's move on. Let's get to the good stuff. Seth Rollins, Sheamus. Seth Rollins is a darn good wrestler. Rollins is a better wrestler than Sheamus, and it was a crappy match.
There might be a reason for that.
I'd like to hear it.
Sheamus is the one we were talking about earlier that has the problem with his neck.
Okay.
And it might force his retirement. I was just reading today. I saw some footage of him being backstage, and he's in a neck harness laying on the floor trying to stretch out his vertebrae. It's the same injury that has sidelined Edge, Daniel Bryan, and possibly Sheamus in the future.
That's not good.
That's not good at all, and he's competing with it right now, I guess, still trying to get a final diagnosis. The Celtic Warrior.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's not good.
I did see where, it was Samoa Joe going up against Dean Ambrose.
Mm-hmm.
And Bo Dallas got involved. And then Joe got his clutch on it. I can't even pronounce it, but that clutch, that sleeper hold. And Ambrose did a really good job selling that. So I love Samoa Joe's character right now. He's bad. And he's not Michael Jackson bad. He's just bad. Yeah, so that's a good run for him.
WWE Intercontinental Championship, Roman Reigns, champion, versus Cesaro. Reigns gets the win and remains the IC champ. So in that feud, it's 3-0, the Shield. Not one loss.
No, didn't Samoa Joe beat?
No, Samoa Joe beat Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
But wasn't that with help?
Yeah, well, he did have help from Bo Dallas.
Dallas, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm not really counting that.
I'm just going to do what I want because I'm AJ.
Okay, bite me.
I'm AJ.
Cruiserweight Division Second Chance Fatal 4-Way Match, Mufasa versus Cedric Alexander, Tony Nese.
You got that right.
I know. but then who is this Arya Davari?
It's like this dude. He always wears pants.
Okay, his name's Ariel from now on.
Okay.
Ariel.
That dude? We'll just call him that dude.
By the way, Drew Gulak was on commentary for this match.
Oh, I love him. I love him. He's awesome to listen to. So that's part of the 205 Live storyline, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Who finally won that match?
Cedric Alexander did.
So it's going to be Cedric against Drew?
Drew next week in the number one contenders championship match. The winner will face Enzo Amore.
Amore, A.
Cruiserweight Championship. So good luck to Amore.
A. Delete yourself.
Delete yourself. Well, we've already went through the Dean Ambrose match, so we'll just keep going. Garbage Wrestling here, presented to you by Raw Wrestling and all its creative writers. Number one contendership match, Braun Strowman versus Kane.
I honestly did not see the entire match. I just saw
you did yourself a favor. I want the last 10 minutes of my life back from that thing.
I did see the one bit that they did, which was kind of an homage to WrestleMania with Brock Lesnar and The Undertaker, when both competitors were laid out on the mat.
Sat up at the same
time. And they did the same time. And they looked at each other and laughed. I was going, that's interesting. I didn't like that either, but they're just trying to set up something with Braun Strowman. Eventually, WrestleMania, he's going to go against Brock Lesnar.
I'm going to laugh when you're wrong.
I'm never wrong.
Well, we'll find out. So they brawl into the crowd, right? Strowman with a charge levels Kane. Pricks the ring barricade. You know how that whole thing goes.
Yes.
They're all laying out there. So the number one contendership match is a count out. No winner.
So what they're going to do, they'll do it at the next pay-per-view, the first pay-per-view, the road to WrestleMania.
Just garbage.
Guaranteed.
Garbage Wrestling. Brought to you by Raw and its creative writers.
Garbage Wrestling brought to you by Raw, where they take out the trash, just like Juice, Dave, and Zane. Taking out the trash.
Just shut up. That is your Raw recap. I'm sorry that we weren't intrigued by it, but there's just nothing to really say because we have 4 weeks left before.
No treats.
So coming up next, we got something interesting. We actually got good stuff, good content coming to you via Chris on the Mat. Chris Evans comes up next on Turnbuckle Trash.
Hey, MSR.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, do you like geeky things?
I love geeky things, Chunky Larry.
How much do you love geeky things?
I would say at least a 7.
A 7? That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
I have a few places on the internet I go to.
Well, the one place you want to go on the internet is geeksoftheindustry.com, because it's got geeks at the beginning.
Oh, that's a good point. Geeksoftheindustry.com, you say. What is that about? What is that?
Well, you know, it's got a little bit of everything. It's got cartoons, movies, music, video games, wrestling. You know, anything that's geeky that you're into, you'll probably be able to find at geeksoftheindustry.com.
I can watch all of those things?
No. It's a podcast website. You listen to things.
Oh.
Ooh, podcasting. You can download them from the website, or you can, you know, subscribe to one of the shows on Stitcher or iTunes.
What was that website again?
That's geeksoftheindustry.com, my good friend.
I'm going to go right now.
Yeah, sorry, my brother. You've got to get your own.
It's Chris on the match.
I'm lost for words.
The original trash head, Chris Evans.
If a guy didn't get cracked open, he wasn't really wrestling.
Chris on the mat.
You can make people sit their butts in those seats. Your box office.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
You're changing your Depends over to diapers.
Hey, Turnbuckle Trash heads. Yes, it's me again. Let's talk Y2J and Kenny Omega. They are building this match so well. If everyone can watch New Japan, you need to see this match. Kenny Omega, Y2J.
We saw him defend the U.S. title back in Kobe after having knee surgery. Knee surgery that would have put a normal athlete on the shelf 4 to 6 weeks minimum. Omega was back in two.
Kenny Omega, Y2J. I think it's going to be good. It looks like they are building this match to be phenomenal.
Wow. Congratulations, Kenny, on another great match. But are you ready for your greatest match? For your hardest match? January 4th at the Tokyo Dome at Wrestle Kingdom 12?
I can't wait. I've never been excited for a match like this, but this one right here is going to be the talk of the internet.
Jericho versus Kenny, Alpha versus Omega. We're going to find out who the best in the world is, Kenny, and you better be ready, because I'm going to beat the hell out of you. Do you understand what I'm saying to you right now? Do you? Do you? Huh? Huh?
Remember, if you want to see a heck of a match, it's going to be Y2J and Kenny Omega. I promise you, this match is going to be awesome.
Whoa! Oh my God! Whoa. It's Chris Jericho! Chris Jericho's here!
Jericho!
Jericho! Oh my God! Codebreaker! Codebreaker at Omega! Jericho's in Fukuoka! What the hell? Chris Jericho's arrived!
Y2J and Kenny Omega, I promise you, this match is going to be awesome. Promise you, this match is going to be awesome.
Awesome. Jericho is here! Jericho's got that U.S. title! U.S. title in his hands! And he just smashed
my God.
In the face!
It about took his head off!
None of these cross-eyed mouth breathers deserve to hear this voice.
I guess I'll just try and take over the world!
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
It was a pile of trash.
Hello, welcome back. RJ Salas and Dave Denton, Santa Claus and the Elf.
I am the jolly bearded Thad man of this.
No, you're the Elf. I'm Santa Claus. I'm the one that brings good tidings of great joy.
I can bring great joy. By the way, that little woo that you just did, I have it recorded. In between the segments?
You need to quit recording me without getting my permission. I will sue you. That's copyrighted. My woo is copyrighted.
Yeah.
You perv ball. All right, let's get into some news, rumors, gossip, and juicy juice. You like that?
Yes, yeah,
I do. See what I did there?
Juicy juice.
Dave?
What?
What's our news, rumors, and gossips?
Okay, well, let's start off with Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. Now, this is a smaller promotion. We've talked about it a few times. I've been watching it a little bit. They're actually doing something that is quite interesting. They are doing what they call the PP3 tournament, Percy Pringle the Third tournament. Do you know who Percy Pringle was?
Are you kidding me?
Uh-huh.
You inconsiderate jerk. Undertaker was my favorite wrestler since I was like -5. I knew him before I ever came to this earth.
Yeah.
I used to watch wrestling up in heaven. Paul Bearer.
Yes, Paul Bearer. And
the man who carried the urine.
The what?
The urine. You know, the gold, the yellow, the yellow stuff, the urine.
Oh, the urine. The urn? Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm just thinking. Okay. Okay. Now, yeah, they're doing it in a very unusual format. I haven't figured out the format because they had tag matches, then they had singles matches, and then they had a fatal three-way, and somehow this is getting into where they can take any kind of championship opportunity if they win this tournament. And then you were talking about the brothers, the Bludgeon Brothers on WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Luke Harper is a new dad of the Bludgeon Brothers. His wife had a little baby boy, and now congratulations to Luke Harper. Now, you had some stuff about Chris Jericho that you said you wanted to.
Absolutely. So, Chris Jericho has a new book out, and I can't remember what this new book is called now all of a sudden.
Well, but while you find it, sure. I'll talk about Chris being in a recent Rolling Stone.
Oh, yes.
Rolling Stone magazine, talking about the Wrestle Kingdom match that he's going to have with Kenny Omega. Of course, that's what our subject was on Chris on the Mat, but you might want to check that out. Chris also talked about in the article about a kind of a reality show that he filmed for Canadian Broadcasting, where he is a cruise ship entertainment director.
Okay.
And it's kind of a wrestling theme, and it's called, Hey, I'm Chris Jericho. And they had a tournament on there with some of the stars from Ring of Honor Wrestling, including the Young Bucks and Cody. Not sure when the Canadian Broadcasting Company is going to put on this show, but I'm going to try to find it so I can watch it and see how Chris Jericho is in the acting role now. But he also said in the article that he's not sure if he'll ever return to the WWE.
So there's a book called No is a Four-Letter Word, and it's like these 20 stories about motivating you to accomplish whatever you want to do in life, right?
Uh-huh.
Really good book. Really, really, really good book. There's a story, and I had to tell because I thought it was so good. There was a famous rock, and of course, Chris Jericho's a rock artist, heavy metal group, the Fozzy, right? Yep. But there's a group there's a singer that he wanted to see, and so he wanted to meet him. Well, he was going to be in New York and actually at the Jimmy Fallon show, and Chris Jericho was going to be in New Jersey to go wrestle on Raw that same night. Now, of course, Jimmy Fallon was going to be taped at 5:30. Mm-hmm. Raw's at
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. So he was hoping to see him before their Raw began because Chris Jericho had a segment he had to do. Long story short, he ends up talking to Jimmy Fallon because he had to go do a show the week before that, saw the schedule, saw that this rocker was going to be there, wanted to see him. Jimmy Fallon says, hey, you come by next week at 5 o'clock sharp. I'll let you meet him. You can hang out and talk and whatever. And Chris is like, are you being serious or is this a Hollywood thing where you're not being serious, but you're being nice? He says, no. He says, 5 o'clock here and you can meet him. So, he shows up, or I guess he goes to Vince McMahon and says, look, Vince, who, by the way, is a fan of the Rolling Stones,
right,
says, Vince, I got to go do this. I have to go see him. You have to let me go do it. And Vince says, okay, well, you need to go. If that's really true and he's really there, you need to go see him. But don't screw me up on this. You better have a plan. A, B, C, D, make sure you get your butt back here for Raw. I'll try and schedule you later in the Raw show. So Chris went back, saw Jimmy Fallon, and he actually walks into one of the celebrity rooms or whatever where they all hang out backstage.
Yeah, the green room.
Yeah, the green room. There you go. Thank you. And Dennis Rodman's hanging back there. So he's chatting with Dennis Rodman, and Jimmy Fallon walks in and goes, hey, Dennis, good to see you. Chris, you want to go? Chris is like, yeah. You know, and he kind of thought how cool it was that Dennis Rodman wasn't invited, but Chris Jericho was. Got a chance. And I can't remember. This is so stupid because I can't remember the rocker's name. But it's kind of cool seeing that these wrestlers, how human they are.
Yeah.
You know? It's kind
of
neat.
You know, a lot of times I've had the opportunity to talk to several music stars,
mm-hmm.
Country and rock and roll, and sometimes I'll ask them who they have, who their influences are.
Mm-hmm.
And if there was anybody that they haven't met that they would love to meet. And it's like, you know, they just start becoming kids again,
mm-hmm.
You know, there was a guy named David Pack who was the lead singer for a band called Ambrosia. When we talked about the Grassroots, he was telling me the story about when he met Steve Perry the first time.
No kidding.
Yeah, and he said it was just like, you know, he was just like a kid in a candy shop. And they became very, very good friends, Steve Perry of Journey. So, yeah, these guys are celebrities, but sometimes they become, you know, fanboys like we are. Yeah. I mean, if I had the chance to meet Stone Cold, I'd probably, you know,
have to
change my pants.
Yeah. So. I know the story about Michael Jordan meeting Muhammad Ali.
Oh, that'd be awesome.